Radio.com.
This is What's On Your Mind. Hello, everybody. I'm Scott Hennen, along with Steve Bakken, who today is again at the Bismarck Civic Center for the Bakken Infrastructure Conference. And we welcome your calls, questions, and comments, as we always do. We ask every single time we start this program the number one most important question of our audience all across the Northern Plains, listening on KFIRE 550 and AM 1100 The Flag at Fargo-Moorhead and 910 KCJB in Minot and KLTC in Dickinson and KTGO in Tioga. What's on your mind? And we want to know. A couple of guests on the program today. We're going to talk to father and son farmers. In fact, sugar beet farmers. Nathan Green and his dad, Robert Green, and talk about the sugar program and why that's important in the farm bill for them and defense of the sugar program. A controversial one at times, so your questions and comments are certainly welcome on that topic. So we'll talk a little agriculture today. We're also going to do a follow-up on our conversation last week on Common Core standards that are alarming a lot of parents about what will be taught in the classrooms as a result of these standards. And the Department of Public Instruction has said, hey, we want to respond to some of those things that State Representative Brenda Heller said last week. So the other side of that story in our 10 o'clock hour today on the program. So looking forward to that. 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550. What's on your mind today, Steve? Front and center.
Well, the oil conference, of course, the fourth annual Bakken Infrastructure Finance and Development Week. I just got done listening to Lieutenant Governor Drew Wrigley speak. You know, he did a great job of marrying what's going on from the energy sector to the agriculture sector and all the other outdoor opportunities and everything we've got going on in North Dakota. And, you know, that's something that we're cognizant of here in North Dakota, which I think gets overlooked on occasion, that how closely we guard what we have here in North Dakota from a land standpoint, from a quality of life standpoint. You know, it's a pretty amazing time what we've got going on in North Dakota. I'd like to thank our sponsor for bringing us out here for this broadcast today. Brand new furniture store in Bismarck, Montana Furniture and Mercantile, which, Scott, I am going to get you out there. You got to check this place out. It's absolutely amazing. You'd stop and see them while you're in town. Check out their website if you'd like to check it out at MontanaFurnitureMercantile.net. That's MontanaFurnitureMercantile.net, or give John a call over at 701-425-0781.
We can head over to the Montana Furniture Mercantile right after we have lunch at Famous Dave's. When we go on location to find out, what's behind these two employees being fired. I don't know if you heard about this story, but Famous Dave's Great Barbecue Restaurant actually had a little problem with an employee, a waitress, I guess, and another employee who took a picture. And the server put up a note on Facebook, a picture, and she's holding a sign that says, "Help, I'm a server at Famous Dave's on Powwow Weekend. Anything helps. 5 cents, 25 cents, it's more than my tips." She was in uniform, and she and the employee who took the photo were both fired. So some people think this is a bit of an overreaction. I actually don't at all, and I'd welcome your opinions on this, but, there's an adage that's time-tested that says the customer's always right. And so if your, paycheck depends on customers, and you work for a company, you post a picture of yourself on Facebook offending the customers of the company that's paying you, I think it's a good chance you're going to get fired. And she did. Now, I know some folks on our Facebook page are saying this is racist. I guess maybe because she said it's Powwow Weekend and tying that to low tips. I think regardless of one's heritage, if you don't tip somebody, you're probably going to tick off the waiter, but again, that ties to service. I don't know. So a question we have on our Facebook page that lots of folks are weighing in on is whether or not you consider this to be a bit of an overreaction that they did, in fact, fire these two employees, or whether, they deserve getting fired, which I happen to be in that camp. How about you?
You know what? I've been following that story on the tablets as well, but I usually consider myself a good tipper, and I tip on the service. You know, I don't hold against. Sometimes restaurants are a little bit slow if they're late, but then I tip specifically on how attentive is that server. My biggest pet peeve, and this is the one that drives me nuts, is if I'm ready to go, not getting my bill. That cuts into the tip more than anything else with me. Are you a good tipper, Scott?
If the service warrants, yeah. You know, I'm generally 18 to 20% tipper. Most often, just because easier math for me. But you know, I mean, okay, that I can figure out. 10%, 20%, double. I'm not one of those, you know, calculator guys that do 15%, 18%. But you know, to me, this isn't really about the amount of the tip. This is about an employee offending customers. So to me, it's perfectly appropriate, Famous Dave's. And whether that's meant to be a racist connotation, I don't know. You weigh in on that. You mentioned the tablets. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, John and Grand Forks wanted to weigh in on the Famous Dave's flap. Who's right in this one, do you think, John?
Well, you know, get rid of the employee. Here's how it goes. Quick story, if I may. Years ago, went down to Minneapolis to visit sister-in-law. She took us, I think, to Blaine, Minnesota, to a quaint restaurant. And there's about 8-10 of us sitting around the table. This gal is going to take our orders off the menu and, you know, salad, what kind of dressing, what are you going to have? After she had asked the third person, one of us asked her, are you going to write this down? And she said, no, I don't need to. And she delivered the food and everything was perfect, and she never wrote it down. 8 or 10 people went around the table. Consequently, my sister-in-law was buying us to dinner, and this gal got a huge tip, you know? That's the way it works. If you don't get a tip...
That's a talent.
Yeah. If you don't get a tip,
that's a
you should still treat customer, thank you very much type of thing. Anyway, quick story, and I was so impressed with this gal. Never wrote a thing down. And everything was delivered perfect. So, anyway.
So now, in that case, John, does that put you at the 20% plateau then? Or when you get that kind of service, what do you tip?
At least that. And if I'm not mistaken, back then, years ago, she got, from my sister-in-law, she got well over a $100 tip. So, because we were all amazed, you know, at the service.
I've seen others do that as well. I often wonder, do they go back and then quick write it down? They're doing it to really, you know, dazzle you, or is it just an incredible memory they have?
I don't know. I tell you what, I could, I can ask my wife can tell me something, and I forget before I get to the other room. You know,
I can barely remember where I parked in the parking lot of the restaurant, let alone remember a table full.
I'm glad somebody else is like that. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. All right, we lost John there. Telephone number 800-228-0550. And you know, maybe some other servers want to weigh in here, but... You know, as you read this, help, I'm a server at Famous Dave's on Powwow Weekend. Anything helps, 5 cents, 25 cents, it's more than my tips. You know, do you see that as just a flat-out diss of tightwad tippers, or is there a racist connotation in that? And, you know, I can see where some of the, you know, folks are suggesting that they're tying this to Powwow Weekend. Brian Jamestown, what's your take on this? You're next on What's on Your Mind.
Hey guys, I work in the service industry, and I think anybody who owns a company expects you to be completely respectful to all of your customers. No matter how irate, no matter how unjust some of the service may be or whatever, the tips. But the last thing they want you doing is running their company name through the racist mud. Would you guys agree?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, not wise.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What was that?
Absolutely, Brian, and it comes down to, you made the key point right there. You're in the service industry. That means it's your job to give good service, and your tip is reflective of that. At least it should be reflective of that.
Well, if you guys owned a company, how would you handle this? I would definitely fire that person.
Same here. Absolutely. Yeah, not think twice of it. You know. By the way, if this was meant to be racist, Dave Anderson, the founder of Famous Dave's, is Native American, for crying out loud. I mean, you really got to be a little thick in that regard. So, set that aside. I don't want to play the race card here. I mean, whether she intended it or not. But my point is simply this: it's a customer. You're in a business. You get a paycheck because of the customer. You can't diss him. Take it somewhere else. Yeah. Brian, thanks for the point. Lots of folks weighing in on this email. Here's one of my favorites. Take it to the kitchen. Don't take it to Facebook. Take it to the kitchen. Look, I mean, I think people are probably used to. Yeah, exactly right. Chris writes, the customer's
never mess with somebody who handles your food.
The customer is always right, says Chris, even when they're wrong. Never take your complaints public. That's what the kitchen is for. All right, Steve will give us his beef on the tablets when we come back, and more of your calls, too, on What's On Your Mind.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Now a word about agriculture from the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Did you know agriculture's direct contribution to North Dakota's economy every year is about $6 billion? Ag represents close to a quarter of our state's economic base, employs approximately 25% of the state's workforce. Agriculture is North Dakota's economic engine, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is agriculture's best advocate. Farm Bureau understands how a strong ag sector helps keep our state strong, but we're about more than agriculture. We're about those things that are important to all North Dakotans: a strong, growing, vibrant economy, good schools, safe communities, and keeping more of our hard-earned money in our own pockets. Farm Bureau members know the organization is not only working for them on important issues in Bismarck and Washington, D.C., but helping them save a few bucks on everything from new and used vehicles to prescription drugs. Find out more about the organization by going online to ndfb.org. That's the North Dakota Farm Bureau website, ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. That's agriculture, and that's the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
It's a modern-day gold rush. Black gold, that is. North Dakota is the nation's second leading oil producer, pumping out over 793,000 barrels a day. Stop. This just in. Apex is hiring mechanical engineers and plumbers now. The right candidates earn $25 to $35 an hour depending on experience. Call Jim at 701-651-6753. That's 701-651-6753. Apex USA is an equal opportunity employer.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 27th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $14,1890. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14,6971, $734.85 for a half ounce, or $367.43 for a quarter ounce. That's $14,6971, $734.85, and $367.43.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
What's your mind?
This is what?
I'm 701-580-5501, 800-228-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hannon, and this is What's on Your Mind. You were going to say, Scott?
I was going to say the temperature, as a matter of fact. Oh. That's quite all right. 61 degrees in Bismarck, 65 in Fargo, 61 in Minot at this hour, and Tioga sitting at 58 in Williston, 59 in Dickinson, 58 in Tioga. Anyway, just checking some temperatures there. Back to the phones here in a moment at 800-228-0550. We're going to chat with some sugar beet farmers at the bottom of the hour, talk about the sugar program. We're going to talk about Common Core from the perspective of the folks implementing it, supporting it at the Department of Public Instruction in North Dakota. Ryan Townsend will join us next hour, responding some questions on that topic last hour. We mentioned this little flap over a fired employee at Famous Dave's because she posted on her Facebook page that she was in need of help because of the Powwow Weekend producing little tips at the Famous Dave's restaurant. Were they right to fire her, or is it an overreaction, was our question. Welcome your comments on that, 800-228-0550. You mentioned tablets. What are you talking about with tablets before we get back to tips?
The story I've been following is that North Dakota schools are sending students home with tablets bought with taxpayer funds. And now when they're off the school networks, which these kids can take these home, they can have access to anything, you know, whatever kids want to get into, whether it's pornography, gambling websites. You know, should there be at least a warning for the parents about this? Should these tablets not be brought home until proper filters can be installed and the technology figured out? I have a hard time believing in today's technology age that there's not some way to put controls on this. I mean, you've got parental controls that can go on television sets or the home computer. How do you not have controls on a school tablet like this so the kids can't get into things or use them for things that they're not intended to?
Now, I know a number of schools around the state are doing this, and I think the one you're talking about specifically is Fargo, where they send them home, and then the filters don't work. And by the way, tablets for gray hairs like me, I think tablet, and I think, you know, a steel ring tablet. If we're talking about computer tablets, we're talking like an iPad or a little tablet computer, you know, laptop kind of thing. So that's what we're talking about here. Curious if other parents out there know of computers coming home with the kids and whether they have the filters, because they don't in Fargo. And the officials here are sort of saying, well, it's up to the parents to monitor that. And it should be in a perfect world, but it seems to me that without the filters, they ought not leave. Dan and Minot wanted to weigh in on the tipping controversy at Famous Dave's. Hello, Dan. You're next at 800-228-0550. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, you know, I just wanted to mention a couple things about this real quick, as somebody that used to serve tables. Now, the company, I believe, had no choice but to fire her, you know. I mean, especially considering she was in their uniform and everything else, they're put in a position where they have no choice but to get rid of her. That said, I think a lot of the problem comes down to the fact that servers get paid $2.23 per hour. There are some companies that pay them a little bit more than that, but they live off of their tips. Most people will tip you fairly, and you can't judge people based on the way they look or anything else. However, that said, people don't really realize until they've actually been in the position of working in this industry how difficult it can be, especially when you have groups of 10, 20, 30 people that come in and they want to tip you $4 or $5, you know? I mean, if people got the money to go out and get something to eat and companies, you know, need you to work there to provide the service so they stay in business, then I think the solution to this problem is to raise the pay rate for waiters and waitresses and so on and so forth to at least the federal minimum wage. Because a lot of people are going to get upset when, you know, they make $20 in 8 hours of pay. And I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, but there are certain people that seem to find $100 to go out and get something to eat, and they can't seem to find $4 or $5 even to tip somebody. And thanks, guys, for letting me weigh in on the topic.
Dan, you brought up a great point, and I want to ask you a question on this. You mentioned, of course, she was in her uniform. The picture was taken at her workplace, at Famous Dave's. Does that make a difference? If she's at home in her uniform or not in her uniform, just holding up a sign that says, I work at Famous Dave's, and then goes on to complain about the tipping, does that make a difference in your mind?
Yes, it very much does. You know, the fact of the matter is this, okay, you know, with the whole social media thing, there's been a lot of basically trying to figure out lately in our culture, you know, where the boundary lines lie. And like I said, I really feel that the company had no choice. It's just like if I work at any other company, you know, if I work for a construction company and I take a picture of myself in my company uniform complaining about how bad the company is, you know, or how bad the customers are, of course they're going to have to fire me. They have no choice. Where she really made her mistake was not even so much what she said. It's the fact that she did it at her job wearing her uniform. You know, that's just that's just a lack of common sense on her part.
I have a question, too, for you, Dan. I've never not tipped, ever. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever, but I do tip, you know, if I get good service, then, you know, 18, 20. If it's so 15 and really poor, then, you know, maybe a little bit under a 15.
Sure.
How many people do not tip at all?
I would say, as a percentage-wise, it's probably about 15 to 20% at the most.
Okay.
People do tip something. Like you said, even when they get poor service, most people do tip at least something. However, you know, it's like our neighbors to the north here, I hate the people in the groups, but I'll use a different example. As a server, I can tell you that Canadians, as a rule, maybe 10% of them tip. 90% of them don't tip anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow.
So if we're going to do any...
Sorry, sir?
I said maybe one of the reasons that this server, I think, is in some trouble is because she specifically referenced it's powwow weekend and I'm not getting any tips.
Right.
So sounds like when it's Boxing Day, you might be thinking about doing the same thing.
I'll say one other thing real quick, though. My personal experience is also this, though, too. I'm not going to say what restaurant I used to work at, but the fact of the matter is when I started working there, and I'm not originally from North Dakota, people in particular would not want to serve Native American tables. They would actually go out of their way to argue about whose turn it was to serve them. And I will say my personal experience is contrary to a lot of my coworkers. I'd usually get tipped really well. And I think part of the reason is because, you know, customers can tell when you have some sort of dislike towards them or a assumption about them. And if you have the attitude that this person's not going to tip me from the start, chances are they're probably not going to tip you. I mean, that's just, you know, people can sense these things, and it's very much a personal interaction, you know?
Dan, you bring up a great point. It's all about your attitude, and no matter who you're serving, presenting that attitude. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Mike in Minot. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I would think it's nice to give tips. But when they start to expect tips, and you can tell by their body language and whatnot, I start to get a little irritated. And I mean, you know, it's like I said, it's always nice to give tips, but if they can't pay their bills on what they're making, they need to get a higher paying job and stop expecting us to pay their bills for them.
Do you ever notice, Mike, the ones that get really nice when it's time for the check to come?
And oh,
see,
yeah,
you know, sort of laying out. How was everything? Are you okay? Did you enjoy your meal? But you couldn't find them 20 minutes, half hour earlier. I love those as well. Tip the good ones, that's for sure. Reward them for good service. Mike, appreciate the call. Thank you. Interesting. A lot of different perspectives on this, but most everybody thinks Famous Dave's did the right thing here. We're going to talk agriculture, specifically the sugar program, with some sugar beet farmers when we come back. Don't go away.
Scott and Steve will be right back with What's on Your Mind. Call now, 800-228-0550.
Beautify your North Dakota home with the look of the West. Visit the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom in Bismarck. Find unique furnishings crafted from reclaimed wood, hickory, juniper, old wagon wheels, and they specialize in Western copper, leather, and hide. It's furniture built to last. Rugged, beautiful furnishings in the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom. Find them on the Gulch Block, 508 Main Street in Bismarck.
It's a modern-day gold rush. Black gold, that is. North Dakota is the nation's second leading oil producer, pumping out over 793,000 barrels a day. Stop. This just in. Apex is hiring mechanical engineers and plumbers now. The right candidates earn $25 to $35 an hour depending on experience. Call Jim at 701-651-6753. That's 701-651-6753. Apex USA is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide qualified customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Back on What's On Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hennen. Brought to you today, by the way, by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. Check out all they have to offer at ndfb.org. ndfb.org. In fact, one of the things folks forget is their members get a variety of savings opportunities on everything from new and used vehicles to motels and home appliances. So check it out at ndfb.org. Okay, back to a couple of calls, and we're going to chat with some sugar growers today. Some sugar producers on the program, agriculture segment. Looking forward to that. Let's see who's been waiting the longest here. Todd in Bismarck wants to weigh in on our topic from last half hour. Hey, Todd, how are you?
Good. You?
Good, sir. Thanks for calling.
I want to agree and kind of disagree with a couple of callers. I agree they should have been fired, but as far as raising their minimum wage up, I disagree with that. You're looking at these businesses that are going to have to make up that difference that they're paying on wage, either on the raising the food cost or reducing labor, which would mean less staff on. By reducing the labor, it's going to affect the quality of service that you get at the customer. You look at that, you're not going to tip as much. So now you're going to have that same server only making minimum wage and a hair higher. Right now, if they're a good server, they earn a good tip. The customer is their employer. You can look at it like that. If they produce and give them good service, that employer, that customer, will, in return, give a good tip.
It's good common sense. I agree with you. I agree with you, Todd. Appreciate the call. And we've got some service call and raised some concerns. We obviously got a little back and forth going here, but I agree with everything you just said. Jess, out in Western North Dakota, your take on this. You're next on What's On Your Mind.
Yeah, you had a caller earlier that had commented on raising the minimum wage, and I just wanted to kind of put it out there. These servers and waitresses, they're actually, are paid minimum wage. Essentially, your employer has to pay you the difference between what you make in your hourly wage and your tips and what minimum wage is. So by raising the minimum wage, you're lowering the incentive of these people to report their tips, which is going to cost state money in the end on charging income tax. So I don't agree with raising the minimum wage at all, and I do agree with the last caller that it is going to make a difference to the employer, too, when it comes to recouping that additional cost, because now, you know, when you have people paying or reporting less in tips, they're essentially making more, and they're cheating the system.
Appreciate the call, Jess. Thank you very much. Some good points here. Last one on this topic, Brad in Grand Forks.
Hey, long time no talk. You know, as far as the minimum wage goes, they should just eliminate it. That's a whole other topic. As far as the servers go, I wonder a little bit if there's somewhat of a double standard going on here. I think Famous Dave did the right thing, but I wonder if it had been a conference of pastors in town for something or else, and there was low tip, it would be the pastors, the Christians, getting blasted for being for not being generous. I've seen that happen before where a claiming to be a Christian leaves a low tip, and they get just ripped for it, and they don't care about servers and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know. I wonder if there's a little bit of a double standard going on there. Like I said, I think they did the right thing, and if it were me, I'd have fired them. And as personally, I never tip less than 20% unless they're just a horrible, horrible server. But just a thought.
Interesting, Brad. Appreciate the call. Glad you're a longtime listener, and don't make it so long next time before your next call. Appreciate you weighing in, as we do on all of our listeners on all of the topics. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Now, do you have any questions on the sugar program? From time to time, we hear from folks to say, well, why is there a sugar program? And we always appreciate tackling agriculture issues, so we're lucky today to have a couple of sugar producers with us in studio from St. Thomas, North Dakota. Nathan Green is here. And Nathan is in District 1 of the North Dakota Farm Bureau Leadership, a director there. Brought his dad along, Robert Green, today. Robert, Nathan, nice to have you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. So let's talk about this year first. How are things looking?
Well, it was a tough spring. It took a long time for us to get the crop planted, but once we got it established, it's come along pretty nice. The heat and the rains have been intermittent, but it's coming along pretty nicely.
Basically, too much at planting time and too late, Robert, and not enough sense, huh?
Yeah, but fortunately, sugar beets are probably the most adaptive crop that we grow. They tolerate drier years better than any other crop. They wetter years, late planting, early planting, of course, they do better.
You know, a lot of folks just say, why do we have a sugar program? You know, why is this? We hear that from time to time from folks, and certainly, by the way, welcome any of those kind of questions on the sugar program from anybody in our audience today. But you guys are in the business. Talk a little bit about why it's important to domestic sugar producers, why you need a sugar program.
Well, the sugar program, it works, basically. Sugar policy works for taxpayers. Sugar farmers don't receive subsidy checks, and Congress designed the policy to operate at the lowest possible cost. It's cost $0 from 2002 to 2012. Well below government estimates, and is by far the cheapest major commodity program. Sugar policy works for the grocery shoppers. Consumers in other countries pay on average 14% more for sugar than Americans do. And while other commodity prices have spiked, U.S. sugar prices have dropped nearly 50% since last year. Sugar policy works for the U.S. economy. Domestic sugar producers support $20 billion in economic activity and allow for 142,000 jobs in 22 states. Sugar policy works for U.S. food security. Foreign subsidies have made sugar the world's most distorted, volatile commodity market. Sugar policy ensures that we have homegrown sugar supply and aren't dependent on an unreliable sugar dump market. Sugar policy works for our foreign allies. America buys sugar from 41 countries and is the world's biggest importer of sugar, which explains why so many poor developing countries support the U.S. current sugar policy. And finally, sugar policy even works for its opponents. Since the current policy took hold, large confectioners have increased production and boasted profit margins that are higher than even the world's biggest oil companies.
Well, you hear some pretty strong defense there of a laundry list of things. Let's just talk a little bit about the market today. Is the sugar market working today? I mean, you hear on one hand about sugar prices being, you know, pretty good right now, Robert, as an example, but then you also hear about farmers forfeiting loans back to the USDA. So what's going on with the market?
Well, the sugar market has dropped about 50% in the past year. Sugar is the most price-distorted commodity in the world. And the reason for that is sugar beets or sugar cane, from where we get sugar, have no value unless they're converted to sugar. And the facilities to do that cost hundreds of millions of dollars. So every government intervenes in one way, shape, or form in the name of food security to keep their citizens supplied with high-quality domestic sugar to the extent that they can. And some of the things they do then to ensure their production distort the world market. So there's a dump market of sugar out there, and that market tends to dictate our prices to a large extent.
And you mentioned opponents, Nathan, of the program, and specifically some of the bigger the companies that are against it, do they not see the arguments your dad just laid out here?
Well, there truly is not much value of sugar in a candy bar. And so as sugar prices drop, you don't see the price of a candy bar reduced in your local store.
And that's, I mean, when you're talking about the confectioners, you're talking about the candy folks are the biggest, biggest users, but also the biggest opponents of the sugar program?
Well, they used to be. I think now they appreciate the constant supply of high-quality sugar that we provide.
And I would imagine, too, Robert, not want that volatile market, right?
Yeah, their job is to get their input costs as cheap as possible, which is really hard from our perspective because there's still 2 cents worth of candy in a $1.39 candy bar. 30 years ago, candy bars were 35 cents, and it was 2 cents worth of sugar in a candy bar at that time.
So isn't the federal sugar program something that allows the USDA to restrict sugar supplies? I mean, that's part of the system, isn't it? So why don't we just keep Mexican sugar out?
Yeah, we think that Congress has wisely adopted a supply management sugar program and not a tax and subsidized program. And so they do restrict some of the sugar that comes into this country, but not with Mexico. NAFTA has opened the border to Mexican sugar. That's been open since 2008. And right now they're dumping their excess sugar in our market, and it has collapsed prices. Nathan and I compete to some extent head-to-head with the Mexican Treasury because 20% of the Mexican industry is owned and operated by the government. So that makes it a little tricky from our perspective. And we are very efficient. There are companies in this world that make it their business to study who is efficient and who's not. And we here in the Red River Valley are very efficient. We have rich soils. We have warm summers. We've got cold winters. And we've got industrious, imaginative farmers that do a very good job. We are very efficient. And we've got a sugar program that helps to protect that efficient domestic industry in times like this when there is excess. But no, there's no way, because of NAFTA, to stop the flow of sugar from Mexico here into the United States.
We're chatting with Robert and Nathan Green, who are sugar beet farmers, sugar producers from out of St. Thomas, North Dakota, talking a little bit about the sugar program. Questions or comments welcome today on the program at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, and email questions, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Steve Bakken is at the Bismarck Civic Center today with a Bakken Infrastructure Conference and is introducing one of the panels, so stepped away for a moment. We'll be back joining us momentarily. Sounds like, Nathan, what your dad's saying is that you know, the program works but for NAFTA. NAFTA's one of the big NAFTA's not working for sugar producers at all.
Well, NAFTA is the wild card about the importation of sugar.
So what, is there a fix there? Is there something you can do about that? I mean, is there anything on the table?
Boy, I think NAFTA is a Senate-approved trade agreement. That's pretty solid.
So you're just living with it?
We're living with it. Just like our WTO agreements,
yeah.
We import close to 1.5 million tons of sugar to satisfy those obligations as well, whether we need it or not.
Sugar producers have always been proud of the fact that the program costs the federal treasury nothing. Is that still true? Is it still a zero cost to the taxpayer, Nathan?
No, unfortunately it's not. The USDA has spent money taking sugar off the market in the past few months, and the cost is probably not done yet. Still, this is not because of anything the U.S. producers have done. We did have a good crop in the 2012 crop year, both in sugar country and in the states where sugar cane is grown. But if we only needed to balance domestic sugar and traditional importing countries, everything would be fine.
We'll pick up on that point and a few others when we come back, talking with some sugar growers today on the program. Brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau in this half hour.
Steve Bakken and Scott Hennen want to know, what's on your mind? Call us at 800-228-0550.
Hey, Scott Hennen with a word about longevity and some research that led me to this company. Research that suggests the soils we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, to be healthy. Connect that with the best vitamin and mineral company out there, and you're going to find Longevity. The Longevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need. Now, once you have that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied.
lose weight in a short period of time simply by getting the vitamins and minerals you need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link is the place you can start. Order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement and get started with Longevity. You've heard the ads. You've heard the research. Now it's time to begin anew. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link.
Beautify your North Dakota home with the look of the West. Visit the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom in Bismarck. Find unique furnishings crafted from reclaimed wood, hickory, juniper, old wagon wheels, and they specialize in Western copper, leather, and hide. It's furniture built to last. Rugged, beautiful furnishings in the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom. Find them on the Gulch Block, 508 Main Street in Bismarck.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
KeepItLocal.com. KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
We can buy GMOs stressed out about money and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Let Emergency Essentials help you prepare with our Mountain House Super Sale. Right now, get 40% off every can. Mountain House freeze-dried food is the premier solution for your long-term storage. Delicious flavors, easy preparation, and scientifically proven shelf life of 25-plus years. This month only, save 40% on more than 20 Mountain House varieties. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
It's time for another North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute. Why do farmers do what they do? That's the questions you've asked. Don from the North Dakota Farm Bureau is here to answer your questions.
Don, why do farmers sometimes run their combines way past dark?
When conditions are right and the crop is ready, farmers need to harvest as quickly as possible. Mother Nature isn't always cooperative. Wind, rain, or hail can all damage the quality of the crop, which means a financial hit for farmers. The price farmers get for their crops is based on a variety of factors. If the seeds are too dry or too wet or cracked or broken, farmers won't get the best price for their crop. So farmers harvest when the weather and the crop conditions are right, no matter what time of day it is.
Thanks, Don. We want to know what questions you have about agriculture and why farmers do what they do. Submit your questions by going to ndfb.org and clicking on the Contact Us link at the top of the page. That's today's What's on Your Mind Ag Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
We are chatting today with some sugar producers and learning a little bit about sugar growers and their year and the sugar program, and welcome any questions or comments you have for our guests.
Nathan and Robert Green. They farm up Cavalier County, Pembina County, I guess, right up by Cavalier in northeast North Dakota. Telephone number is 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. It's Scott Hinman with Steve Bakken on What's on Your Mind. So Nathan, before the break, was talking about, you know, traditionally the program is designed to be zero cost to the taxpayers. Robert, it's not right now, but that's because, again, of the Mexican sugar coming in more than the market can bear, right? Basically the dumping that's going on.
That's correct. The supply management sugar program is designed to operate at no cost to the taxpayer. And when it can't operate at no cost in times of supply and demand out of balance, it's designed then to operate at a very low cost. So the USDA is doing some things to take some sugar off the market.
And folks might not know this, but sugar farmers don't get subsidies, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so this program is what you rely on, and normally it's zero cost to the taxpayer.
There was a time when the sugar users were asking Congress to change it to a tax and subsidized program so that they could get sugar at dump market prices, and then the taxpayer would pick up the difference. But I think Congress wisely saw their way to continue a supply management program.
Nathan, you told me during the break that you are a fourth-generation sugar grower.
That's correct. My great-grandfather started growing sugar beets on our farm in 1928, and we have continuously grown sugar beets every year since.
What kind of a price did they get in 1928, Robert?
That contract shows a 7 cent per pound price as the middle of a range there, which, if you adjust for inflation, should be about 96 cents per pound in today's world. So with sugar at less than a fourth of that, I think it's a testament to the efficiency of the American farmer.
Yeah, I'm looking actually at the contract from 1928 with the American Sugar Beet Company of East Grand Forks, Minnesota, signed by George Green, which would be your great-grandfather then, Robert.
Huh? My grandfather. Yeah.
Your grandfather. Okay, yep. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. That is really neat. Nathan, we had a question about the USDA buying sugar and selling it to ethanol manufacturers to try and help the sugar market. Is that working?
Well, the first round of sugar purchases under the Feedstock Flexibility Program, a provision of the sugar program, really didn't accomplish very much at all. A very small amount of sugar was bought and resold to an ethanol plant in Colorado, but in terms of the overall surplus in the U.S. market, the amount that was purchased and resold is just a tiny drop in a very large bucket.
So it's not having the desired effect there. That's not working.
Not so far. No.
All right.
There may be more to follow. It's a new, relatively new program, and there are some ethanol producers that are trying to get their arms around this opportunity.
Interesting. A couple minutes left, Steve. You got a question for these guys? You're back.
Robert. Steve Bakken here. What's the future of the sugar industry? You know, when you start looking at, and that's a very valid point. It's not a subsidy. It's just a protection. But what's the future? What's the horizon of the sugar industry and agriculture in the Red River Valley with sugar beets if those protections go away?
Well, interesting scenario. We would love to see a zero-for-zero policy where we would gladly drop our sugar program in this country if foreign governments would do the same. We know that we can compete on a head-to-head basis with any sugar producers in the world. We are very efficient, and we deserve a spot at the table. We're thankful that our government has kept some level of protection for us in those bad years. Sugar mills cost hundreds of millions of dollars and cannot just shut down for a year at a time when prices are low.
Current version of the Farm Bill did include the status quo on the sugar program, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. So that's in both versions, House and Senate?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting. Well, gentlemen, thank you for sharing with us the ins and outs of the program and giving us a little 101 on how things are going these days, and appreciate the update very much.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And keep things going. Our best to everybody up in Pembina County. And
The St. Thomas area. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back to the callers on a number of different topics today, we're also going to chat with some folks from the Department of Public Instruction about Common Core Standards, a hot topic last week. This portion of the program brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. You can find out about everything they have to offer at ndfb.org, ndfb.org, your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. With Steve Bach and I'm Scott Hinnom, this is What's on Your Mind.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.